I'm Catherine Hadro. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, taking new measures. President Trump heads to Florida as a new detention facility for illegal migrants opens up. Why it's creating so much controversy. Uncertain future. The U.S. Senate worked through the night to rally support for the big, beautiful bill. The heat is on. Firefighters in Italy battle massive wildfires as Europe swelters under a heat wave. Plus, upholding dignity. Pope Leo condemns the use of hunger as a weapon of war. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of St. Junipero Serra. Our top story tonight. After a marathon of debates and votes, Republican senators muscled through a massive tax and spending bill, which includes much of President Trump's domestic agenda. It passed by the most narrow of margins. Vice President J.D. Vance announced the final tally.
On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being evenly divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative. The bill as amended is passed.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune spearheaded the Republican effort to pass the bill.
With this legislation, we are fulfilling the mandate we were entrusted with last November and setting our country and the American people up to be safer, stronger, and more prosperous.
Not so, say Democrats.
Senate Republicans betrayed the American people and covered this chamber in shame. In one fell swoop, Republicans passed the biggest tax breaks for billionaires ever seen, paid for by ripping health care away from millions of Americans.
The bill now goes to the House, and Senator Cynthia Lummis has some advice for her Republican colleagues.
Take a deep breath. Look at the bill carefully. Hopefully we didn't change it so much that they can't support it, but it's going to require their careful attention.
But the bill is already on shaky ground there. House Freedom Caucus member Ralph Norman signaled he'll oppose it, writing on X, "We've got a lot of wins in the one big, beautiful bill. But let's be honest, the spending provisions in this thing are massive and will blow up the deficit. We can't keep mortgaging our future." Democrats agree.
It's taking health care away from American citizens, from children, from seniors, from families, from everyday Americans with disabilities. That's what this bill does.
Meanwhile, President Trump's former ally Elon Musk criticized the bill, vowing to defeat Republicans who vote for it. Writing on X, "It is obvious with the insane spending of this bill, which increases the debt ceiling by a record $5 trillion, that we live in a one-party country, the Porky Pig Party. Time for a new political party that actually cares about the people." House Speaker Mike Johnson hopes to take up the bill Wednesday morning. Republicans want to pass it and send it to President Trump by Friday, July 4th.
The president has praised Senate Republicans for passing the bill. Speaking to reporters, he had this to say.
It tells you there's something for everyone. I mean, it's a great bill. There is something for everyone. And I think it's going to go very nicely in the House. Actually, I think it will be easier in the House than it was in the Senate.
Joining us now is Dr. Bobby Eberle, a Republican strategist. Thank you so much for joining us. First, your reaction to what we've seen play out in the Senate the last few days and what got this bill across the finish line?
Well, thanks for having me on. And yeah, this has been a crazy couple days. It's been crazy ever since the House passed their version. And what we saw was basically the America First Trump agenda and Trump momentum in full action. We saw him, you know, with some foreign policy wins in the last couple of weeks. And he just took that momentum right over to the Senate and said, look, we're going to get this done. And there was a lot of arm twisting, a lot of negotiations, and we'll see how it goes in the House side. But with the Senate side, the major provisions that the president wanted all ended up there intact, brought enough senators over for Vance to break the tie. But boy, it was close. And we'll see. It does give that some of these House holdouts some ammunition to I think, play a little bit of hardball. But in the end, I think we get this done.
Bobby, this bill defunds Planned Parenthood, but only for 1 year. Your reaction to that, and how difficult would it be for Congress to block the taxpayer dollars going towards abortion a year from now when this timeline expires?
Well, you know, that part's a little bit frustrating because even in this bill, when we're talking about no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, those run out in 2028. So those are temporary as well. Now is the time to get this done. And I fear that it would be even harder next year around when we're going into an election for Republicans to hold strong, to have some backbone and say, yes, we're going to fight this provision, even though it's an election year. Democrats love to use the abortion issue as a rallying cry. And so I really wish they would have gotten this done. I can't put a finger on if it will pass next year, but I hope they have that political will and I hope they have that backbone to just do it and do it once and for all.
Absolutely. So now the bill heads back to the House where some changes have been made since going over to the Senate. First, how will House Republicans react to the Medicaid cuts, do you think?
Well, this was interesting because it was kind of the House that led the way on the Medicaid side, reforming, getting rid of, you know, actually implementing work requirements. They were balking at it at the Senate a little bit, and then the Senate came on strong, it seems, at the end. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling that one will be okay. There'll be some moderate Republicans that might take pause to it a little bit. But the whole idea is based on the fact that if you're able-bodied, you should be able to work and should work for these government benefits. I think that's a key common sense concept that we can sell to the American people. And it's important that these legislators get out there to their base, to their voters, and let them know exactly what that means. Because on the other side, the Democrats are truly spinning it as these draconian cuts, taking people off. No, we're requiring people to work for the government benefit that they're getting.
And Bobby, what about things like energy credits and the SALT deduction tax? How will that go over with House Republicans?
Well, the House Republicans were the ones that really wanted to push that increase. And I come from Texas. So, you know, that was one of the ones that I personally have a little sticking point with as far as rewarding these blue states for bad policies. You know, the whole idea is that, hey, you're getting soaked at the state level with some of these. Maybe it's income tax. Maybe it's other taxes. You can deduct that from your federal level. Well, what about the states that don't have those and you know, we're helping subsidize blue state taxpayers. You know, it kind of philosophically doesn't sit well with me either. But that 40,000 level was pretty much hashed out. I think that will stay and be part of the bill. Mm.
Dr. Bobby Eberle, thank you so much for your thoughts and your time.
Thank you.
President Trump says it is not a place he wants to go hiking anytime soon. He was talking about a new immigration detention center in a remote area of the Florida Everglades, surrounded by alligator-filled swamps. As his administration cracks down on illegal immigration, Catholic bishops have been critical. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Catherine, good evening to you. President Donald Trump is back at the White House tonight. Now, before he left for Florida this morning, I was able to ask him about that bill he's trying to get to his desk.
Catholic bishops, sir, support your bill from the point of view that it keeps tax dollars from funding abortion. They really support that. But Catholic bishops are worried that it will hurt immigrant families and children who have strong ties to American communities. What do you tell the Catholic bishops, sir?
I think we're going to have a good relationship with the Catholic bishops. As you know, I won the Catholic vote by a lot.
Later, after landing in Florida, President Donald Trump said he is committed to deporting criminal illegal immigrants.
They're doing the worst of the worst, always a first.
President Trump got an up-close look at Alligator Alcatraz. Migrants could start arriving there soon.
These people come in here, they want to go home. And they want to go home, so we immediately send them home.
Assembled on a remote airstrip, critics have decried the potential impact on the ecosystem and say President Trump is trying to send a cruel message to immigrants. And some Native American leaders have also opposed construction, saying the land is sacred.
They did this in less than a week. And you look at it, it's incredible. The incredible thing is picking the site, because the site was one of the most natural sites. It might be as good as the real Alcatraz site. You know, it could be. Well, that's a spooky one, too, isn't it? That's a tough sight.
The site could hold up to 3,000 detainees. At a roundtable with the president, Governor Ron DeSantis says other countries have been overrun by open borders, and he doesn't want to see that here.
We're all in on this because we understand how important it is to our citizens. It crowds schools, it crowds medical, it crowds housing. Yes, you have illegal alien crime as well, and people want the problem solved.
Also in attendance, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
People don't have to, they don't have to come here. If they self-deport and go home, they can come back legally. We will let them come back
legally. And there is a lot of self-deportation.
Yes, but if you wait and we bring you to this facility, you don't ever get to come back to America.
Today, the president's visit included walking through a medical facility where there are cubicles set up as areas for treatment. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Dozens of Palestinians were killed today as the Israeli army escalated its attacks in the Gaza Strip. And although the war carries on, there may be changes coming soon. Today, the Israeli Minister of Strategic Affairs met with U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Next week, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will come to Washington to meet with President Trump. Joining us now to discuss is Joe Truesman from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Joe, thanks for being with us. First, the Israeli Minister of Strategic Affairs, Ron Dermer, is holding talks with U.S. officials. What is the focus of their talks?
Hi, thank you for having me. I think right now what's happening is that they're trying to iron out what the ceasefire deal can look like here. As we know, the Israelis have key demands. Among those key demands, of course, is the cessation of rule, of Hamas's rule in the Gaza Strip. I think that's key here. The Israelis do not want a repeat of October 7th. And of course, it's very important to get the hostages back. But that doesn't just happen on a whim. They need the United States and Israel and other partners need to talk and figure out a game plan here. I think that's what we're seeing. Of course, according to reports, we're seeing that we may observe a ceasefire in the next days, possibly in the next weeks. Mm.
Israel is facing heavy pressure from U.S. officials to end the war. But if Israel's goal is to eliminate Hamas, can they come to a deal for a ceasefire?
Right. And I think this has been the obstacle for more than a year and a half now, right? We know about Israel's demands, namely, again, to remove Hamas from power. Because, again, they do not want a repeat of October 7th. However, Hamas does not want that. They continue to fight. And this has been the obstacle, the biggest obstacle, I think, this whole time. This is why I don't think we've seen a permanent ceasefire throughout more than a year and a half of fighting. So I think at the end of the day here, one or two things are going to happen. Either Israel gives up this demand, or Hamas gives up this demand of staying in power. Now we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has said that new opportunities have now arisen to bring the war in Gaza to an end following the 12-day war between Israel and Iran. How would that be connected?
Right. I think right now what we've seen, what we've observed over the last year and a half, especially whether it's in Gaza, Lebanon, Iran just recently, Israel showing that it is one of the most powerful countries in the region, and I think also that an end to the war in Gaza, which I think has been an impediment, right, for a peace deal with other countries in the region. So I think what we may see happen here is that with this win over Iran and, of course, over Lebanon and over Hezbollah in Lebanon, of course, and possibly a ceasefire in the next weeks, I think Israel can leverage this and the United States, of course, to solidify or to establish relations, specifically peace relations with other countries in the region, specifically Syria, to name a few.
And in my final moment with you, what should we expect with Netanyahu's visit to Washington next week?
Right. I think one of the two biggest subjects that the President and Prime Minister Netanyahu will speak about, of course, the ceasefire and possible, I would say, negotiations, or rather a peace deal or with Syria, so which is be great for the Israelis. So we'll see what happens. Of course, I expect good news to come out of this meeting. But again, we have to be hopeful here. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Us as well. Joe Truesman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
President Trump orders a review of U.S. policy toward Cuba. He wants his top cabinet officers to examine the current U.S. sanctions against the communist country, with an eye toward tougher sanctions by the end of July. He says the current sanctions benefit the Cuban government at the expense of the Cuban people. The Caribbean country's foreign minister says the proposal is a violation of human rights. Firefighters across Turkey are trying to contain wildfires that have forced the evacuation of around 50,000 residents for the third consecutive day. Helicopters and aircraft have been dropping water on flames. The fires forced the temporary closure of an airport while several villages were evacuated. Many roads have been closed while witnesses reported flames burning throughout the day. Meanwhile, Italy has been dealing with wildfires of its own as Europe suffers sweltering temperatures. Crews are battling the blazes burning along a highway in Salerno. Temperatures are reaching over 100 degrees in several European countries. We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly. Pope Leo XIV sends a message to the United Nations, and he says the key to solving world hunger can be found in one particular act of Christ. And a new poll reveals how Americans really think about religion in public schools. The results may surprise you. Welcome back. California Governor Gavin Newsom signs a measure rolling back many of the state's landmark environmental protection rules. The Democrat governor says the overhaul is necessary to address California's housing shortage and the rise of people who are homeless. Newsom says the rules were well-intentioned, but put in place too many bureaucratic roadblocks that made it difficult to build housing. State lawmakers passed the measure despite opposition from environmental groups. Church leaders from several continents joined forces with the Vatican Group to appeal for an ecological conversion across the world. Today, members of the initiative presented a document to Pope Leo XIV.
We delivered the document to the Pope today. He did not know the document itself, but there, in our dialogue with him, he told us to continue to move forward with courage. The Pope is the greatest statesman in the world that we have. Certainly, his figure, his person, can help us, but also governments, to find a way of overcoming the difficulties that we are facing.
In Asia, we are really experiencing the disastrous effects of the ecological crisis, you know. Even some islands are sort of disappearing and the population is getting displaced. We have typhoons, we have storms, floods, you know, problem of loss of biodiversity, food security. So we are really experiencing so many problems which are the fallout of the ecological crisis that we are facing. A response to this ecological crisis challenges us to build bridges with followers of other religions so that together we can respond to this serious ecological crisis.
The cardinals that represented the regional bishops' conferences and councils from Asia, Africa, and Central and South America joined forces in appealing for climate justice and an ecological conversion across the world, saying during the press conference that this is not a diplomatic message but a pastoral one. Pope Leo says that hunger must not be used as a weapon of war. In a message to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization conference, the Holy Father reflected on the way Jesus often fed the crowds who came to hear him. The Holy Father said in part, quote, "The true miracle accomplished by Christ was to show that the key to defeating hunger lies more in sharing than in greedily hoarding. Pope Leo also told the UN group, quote, I wish to assure you that the Holy See will always serve the cause of harmony among peoples and will not grow weary of contributing to the common good of the family of nations. An African cardinal who spoke out against a controversial Vatican document during Pope Francis's papacy readdresses the issue with EWTN. Fiducia Supplicans was a declaration by the Vatican Dicastery for the Doctrine of Faith permitting blessings of same-sex couples and others in irregular relationships. It came out in 2023. A few months later, Cardinal Fridolin Mbongo Busungu said the document was perceived in Africa as a kind of cultural colonization. Earlier today, EWTN News Vatican correspondent Valentina De Donato caught up with Cardinal Busungu. He says it's not just an issue for Africa, but for the Church.
I wouldn't say an exception, because the position of certain bishops in Africa was similar to many here in Europe. It's not just an African exception. There is a theological problem, a moral problem. The theology of the Church wasn't changed. I wouldn't say it's a problem. Or African exception. It's doctrinal, theological problem.
È un problema dottrinale, teologico.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, prayer and public schools. A new study reveals Americans' attitude on chaplains in the classroom. Study takes a closer look at the attitude of Americans toward religion in public schools. The findings are from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. They find that around 58% of U.S. adults say they support religious chaplains in public schools. Only 40% say teachers should be allowed to lead a class in prayer. The findings from AP NORC echo recent numbers from Pew Research. They found around 52% of U.S. adults support allowing Christian prayer in public schools. We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Catherine Hadro. Good night, and God bless.